Okay, well, thank you all for being here and being willing to come. So gossip, it's kind of a touchy subject, isn't it? And I've been saying to a few friends, I don't know if I'm crazy or if I'm brave or if I'm just kind of plain foolish for choosing to talk about this. But the fact that so many of you chose to come today, knowing what the topic was going to be, that gives me comfort, and that means that you're not afraid to go there with me today. So the desire to do this really came from chatting with a dear friend of mine, and the topic of gossip came up, and we realized that together we were finding it hard to clearly define what gossip is. And so it got me thinking that we probably weren't the only ones in that boat. It also strikes me that gossip tends to be seen as one of those lesser sins that we don't talk about as much compared to some of those bigger sins. But the fact is sin. Romans 1, 29 and 30 lumps gossips with those who are filled with all manner of unrighteousness. The context here is pretty ugly. In light of this, it seemed paramount that we have right thinking on gossip and what it is exactly. Confusion is just where Satan would want us to be. Yet God is not in the business of confusion on anything, and his word is clear. So before we begin, let's be honest with ourselves. This is an issue that we're all guilty of. As I studied this, I was so convicted of my own sin, yet grateful that the Lord has revealed his will on this matter in his word. And I sense this growing desire in my spirit to speak to the unity of the body of Christ and our call to love one another well. And it broke my heart to think of how gossip tears us apart. So please know that I do not speak today as an expert on this, but as one who falls short in this area and wants to share with you what I found. So my hope is that our investigation today will align our thinking about what gossip is with God's, that it will convict our heart and motivate us to remove gossip from our speech. I've prayed that we will be reminded of the calling he has given us as his representatives to the world, and that we will love one another well with our words. So today we're doing an investigative report. Picture me as like a newscaster on gossip. The who, what, when, where, and why. Okay, so what is gossip? What is it? Like Kristen was saying, I am kind of a nerd. Kristen didn't say that, but it's my words. I am a word nerd, and so I had to go to a few dictionaries to look this up. Now, Merriam-Webster's definition is a bit lacking and left me wondering, but we'll discuss it. It says, gossip is a rumor or report of an intimate nature, chatty talk, idle talk, or rumor, especially about the personal or private matters of others. Now, Victoria's mom even submitted a definition from way across the pond in England. She said, gossip is something you like to do about someone you don't like. So big shout out to Penelope for that one. Thank you, Penelope. So that gives us another flavor. Or maybe you've heard the saying that gossip is like glitter. You can never clean it up. I thought that was a good image, right? Now, in search of a more helpful biblical definition, I came across a podcast that John Piper did on this very topic. Interestingly, he was asked to define gossip and even confessed that he wasn't sure how to define it, which made me go, okay, I'm not the only one that's struggling here. So Piper's definition is a bit more robust. He states sort of what gossip is, but then where it comes from. He defines gossip as, and don't stress to write this down because it's a long one. I just want you to get the idea. He says, gossip is derogatory information about someone that is shared with others in a tone of confidentiality that is not motivated by doing good to them and that you are enjoying in a way that shows your heart is not humble. Now, I also wanted to see firsthand what the Bible has to say about this. A simple keyword search on Blue Letter Bible revealed that the word gossip is used many times in the Bible and will often appear as a different English word depending on your translation. Some translations substitute the words slander, mocking, or evil speech for gossip. So this begs the question, does gossip include those terms in their definitions as well? I kind of wanted to know. So as I researched, and from my own personal experience, it seemed that there are four general ways that gossip is manifested. And this is where your outlines will begin. So the first way I have experienced gossip being manifested is slander and backbiting. Now, slander is making false and damaging statements about somebody else on purpose. In the written form, it's called libel. Backbiting is an attack on the character or reputation of someone who is not present. It's malicious talk, and sometimes it can be true. Both of these are found many times in the Bible, and I'd like to read a passage from Job for this one. If you have your Bible, feel free to turn to Job 5. I'm going to read 17 through 22. Now, in this passage, Job's friend is replying to him in this discourse they're having about Job's very sad situation. Job's basically lost everything. So let's read Job 5, 17 through 22. "Behold, blessed is the one whom God reproves. Therefore, despise not the discipline of the Almighty, for he wounds, but he binds up. He shatters, but his hands heal. He will deliver you from six troubles. In seven, no evil shall touch you. In famine, he will remove you. He will redeem you from death, and in war, from the power of the sword. You shall be hidden from the lash of the tongue, and shall not fear destruction when it comes. At destruction and famine, you shall laugh and shall not fear the beast of the earth." Did you catch the lash of the tongue in verse 21? So depending on your Bible translation, lash of the tongue may be read as malicious gossip or slander or scourge of the tongue. The Hebrew word there literally means to whip, to chastise. There's an intent to speak false and damaging statements with a purpose of doing severe harm. Now, my Bible's footnote on this was so good, I just have to read it word for word to you. It says, "The reference to the lash of the tongue is included in a list of troubles that threaten a person's life, along with famine, war, danger of wild beasts, and anything that might endanger the peace of flocks, family, or person." So from that, we can conclude that this type of gossip could endanger a person's peace and thereby their life. How is this so? Well, we've been the victims of gossip. We may have felt this way. The gossip can trouble us so much that it leads to feeling bad about ourselves, which can lead to feeling fear and anxiety. So many negative emotions can come from it that it can affect your outlook on life, your behaviors, and possibly even your will to live. Now, a couple examples of this might be all those tabloid magazines out there that are 95% of the time completely false, and they're slanderous, and they damage, most of the time, celebrities' reputations. Another example would be plain old bullying, either to someone's face, alongside others, or behind somebody's back. And we've all heard reports of how bullying has pushed someone to self-harm or even suicide. So this type of gossip endangers someone's life, or can. The second way gossip is manifested, in my experience, is whispered rumors and innuendos. These are secretive and suggestive or disparaging remarks made about someone else. You might say that they're the passive version of slander and backbiting. Again, there's multiple examples of this in the Bible, most commonly found in Proverbs. I'm going to share two. "A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends." That's Proverbs 16:28. A few chapters later, in Proverbs 26:20, it says, "For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases." These two proverbs tell us that whispering causes strife between friends and that it stokes an argument. Matthew Henry says that whisperers carry fireballs by insinuating and revealing secrets and misrepresenting words and actions. They give a fatal stab to friendship and Christian fellowship. Let's remember Jesus' words from Luke 12:3. He says, "What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs." Whispers and innuendos don't usually stay whispers, do they? They end up as reported facts eventually. Somehow, what we whisper always comes out. Think of how the gossip mill may start with a whispered theory, and by the time the 10th person is told, it's being reported as fact. So an example of this might be, you're out to dinner with friends. The bill comes and everyone plans to pay separately. One friend suddenly realizes she's forgot her wallet. So you whisper to the friend sitting next to you, "Isn't it odd that she forgot her wallet when the bill came?" So you're basically insinuating through your whisper that you think she's not telling the truth. You think that she's just trying to get out of paying for the meal. You're tempting your other friend to think less of her. That friend probably hadn't even had that thought before you whispered that to them. So these are those whispers and innuendos that might plant thoughts in somebody else's head and damage somebody else's reputation. The third way I've seen gossip manifested is mockery. This can be defined as ridicule, teasing, or taunting, or an absurd misrepresentation or imitation of someone that is shared amongst others. We see an example of this in Psalm 69. David writes here of being mocked by the townspeople via town talk or gossip, as is translated in the New Living Translation. The townspeople are making fun of him as he's mourning his sin. They are ridiculing him for the position his sin has put him in, even while he is repentant of it. Proverbs 21:24 says, "Mockers are proud and haughty. They act with boundless arrogance." Now, this one is dangerous because the lightheartedness of the banter and the mocking may mask the self-serving and truly negative intentions of the speaker and therefore make it easier for others to join in as they hear. This type of gossip, on your outlines you'll see, also reveals the enjoyment we may derive out of participating, as generally it's accompanied by laughter at someone else's expense. So, a personal example on this one. In sixth grade, a very popular girl decided to write about me in her journal some very disparaging remarks, and she drew pictures of me. I can still remember the outfit that I used to wear that she drew, and those pictures were mocking me and how I looked and dressed. Well, turns out we both ended up at a sleepover together. She brought the journal. She passed it around at the sleepover, and I'm sitting right there. There were lots of laughs at my expense, and I was totally embarrassed and hurt, and obviously still remember it to this day. Mockery leaves a lasting impression. The last manifestation of gossip is tattling or dishing. I kind of call this one, "It's true, but it's none of your business to share." 1 Timothy 5:13 says, "They learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not." The Greek word for gossip here means to babble or to tattle, and we all know no one likes a tattler, right? Proverbs 20:19 tells us that a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid a man who talks too much. Another personal example here, and here I'm going to confess to you, I had a friend in high school, a guy friend. He was dating a girl. Now, he had been unfaithful in previous relationships before that, and so I stuck my nose where it doesn't belong, and I shared that with one of my girlfriends, and I may have even said something like, "I wouldn't be surprised if he did it again." Not my place to say. Well, my friend told his girlfriend what I said, and she broke up with him. He got wind of what I said and called me out, and he was pretty upset. And I'll tell you what, I felt terrible, and our friendship was never the same after that. That was none of my business to share, and it led to a breakup. Now, those are our four manifestations of gossip in my experience. But before we move on, I want to clarify that I am not saying that we are prohibited from discussing relational conflict with a third party. We've all had issues with others and needed to seek wise counsel on how to resolve the conflict. Generally speaking, gossip is manifested as a malicious attempt to hurt someone else or as idle talk about information that isn't ours to share. It boils down to an issue of the heart. Our words become gossip when our heart isn't right. So, while third-party counsel is often acceptable, there are a few things we should consider before discussing another individual with somebody else. Have I taken the issue to God first? He is the wonderful counselor, and his counsel is best. Often, we run to others to talk before even bringing it up to God. Does this issue or concern affect me directly? If so, will discussing it with someone truly help me resolve the conflict? Is there anything I can actually do about it? Is my motive pure? In other words, am I just wanting to rehash the issue and get empathy from the listener? Or am I truly seeking wise counsel on how to resolve the conflict? And one last tip, let's only use names when absolutely necessary. Sometimes the names don't even need to be brought up, and that's a good idea to protect our friends. So, after hearing these four ways in which gossip is manifested, what impression does this leave us with? Gossip is no good. Pastor Mike alluded to this in his sermon on Sunday. If you recall, he said that our words are a signature of our soul, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our words tell the status of our heart. Now, this means that what we say matters and that it will be used as an identifier of our character, much like Jesus said that a tree will be known by its fruit in Matthew 12. Mike also said that our words shape the lives of others. Our words have power to lift up or to tear down, to impart life or death. You see, our ability to speak is a gift from God. It's an asset. His desire is that we wield it for good, for glorifying him, for sharing the gospel, for building one another up. The bottom line to me is that gossip is a misuse of the gift of speech that God has given us. He didn't have to give us tongues to talk. We could have been mute robots. But in his goodness to us, he gave us speech, which enriches our lives in many ways through, let's say, the ability to communicate directly with one another, with moving musical lyrics, the joy of conversation, the rhymes of poetry, the beauty of different languages, the ability to hear and voice his praise. So we can either use our words for good or for evil. In no way can gossip be construed as good use of our words. Instead, it betrays God's good intentions for our speech. So briefly, we've talked about what is gossip, but what are its effects, just from what I gathered in the Bible? So here are some of the things that can happen when we gossip, according to my personal experience and my research in the scriptures. When we gossip, we mar someone's reputation. We taint the listener's view of the person in question. We wield a power that was never given to us to cause a wake of damage in the process. And one source I read called this reputation theft. Yikes. We also tempt the listener to gossip. Have you ever thought about that? That was a concept that was new to me in recent years. Somebody mentioned that. The idea that we share may have never even entered the listener's mind. And now we've presented it as this juicy tidbit of information that the listener is now tempted to share themselves. We also separate friends. We saw this in Proverbs 16:28. A whisperer separates close friends. Do we want that responsibility? Do we want to be the culprit of this? Because I don't. We do evil toward our neighbor. Next time you're about to gossip, say to yourself, I'm about to do something evil towards my neighbor, and see if that stops you. We betray someone. In doing so, we become someone Proverbs 20:19 tells us not to associate with. Is sharing this information truly worthy of being guilty of betrayal? Is it truly worth being guilty of betrayal by sharing it? I don't think so. We defile ourselves. This one was so telling. Jesus mentions this clearly in Mark 7:21 and 23. He says, "For from within, out of the heart of a man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All of these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." He says that what comes out of our mouths is an expression of what resides in our heart, and it defiles us. It literally renders us unhallowed apart from him. We sow discord. Gossip is like stoking a fire of quarreling. Yet when the gossip stops, the fight dies down. I'd like to read one more passage to you from Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. And we're going to hear what God hates here. It says, "There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers." God hates this. That's a strong term, but it says it right there in Proverbs. He hates one who sows discord among brothers. Matthew Henry's quote on this was so good. He says, "The God of love and peace hates him that sows discord among brethren, for he delights in concord. Those that by talebearing and slandering, by carrying ill-natured stories, aggravating everything that is said and done, and suggesting jealousies and evil surmises, they blow the coals of contention, and they are but preparing for themselves a fire of the same nature." We've seen now that the fruit that gossip bears is not good. It's not appetizing, and it will start to turn people away. By participating in gossip, my tree will begin to known by its off-putting fruit. So we've done the what in our investigation. Let's do the who. Who is a gossip? We'll go over this briefly, but basically, we all are at some time or another. We all gossip. Now, someone who is a gossip is one that's defined as someone who habitually reveals personal or sensational rumors about others. And you might even derive a pleasure from it. Now, how does the Bible describe a gossip? I'll go over these briefly because it's kind of repetitive of what we just talked about in what is gossip, but it paints a pretty grim picture that's telling. The Bible describes a gossip as a talebearer, a scandalmonger, an enticer, one with wicked lips, one who listens to gossip as well as speaks it, as one who lacks sense, a fool, a liar, an evildoer, one with a debased mind, one who is jealous or bitter, someone who is prideful. In light of this, gossip is not something we want listed on our resume. So we've discussed what gossip is, its effects, and how a person who gossips is described. So now let's discuss when. When do we gossip? Well, the first thing that came to mind is when someone else sins. Sin is always at the center of gossip. We take someone else's sin and discuss it with condemnatory tones and pass along information that isn't ours to share. Who gave us a license to share that information? Much like government clearance, we must have a clearance to know and to share that information. And rarely do we have all the facts. Now, we also gossip when we're harboring or acting out of sinful attitudes in our hearts, such as bitterness, resentment, selfish ambition, jealousy, unforgiveness, and pride. The Bible also tells us that we gossip when we listen to gossip. Proverbs 17:4 tells us, "Wrongdoers eagerly listen to gossip. Liars pay close attention to slander." So we're guilty of it when we listen to it and when we talk it. Now for the where. Where does gossip take place? Literally everywhere. We are shameless in our gossiping, not afraid to share when the person we're discussing may even be in the same room. Think of my personal example from earlier at that sleepover. The girl's passing around the journal, and I'm just sitting there watching it happen, seeing them giggle. It was mortifying, and she was pretty bold to do it, too. So what does our brazen sharing of gossip say about us? Well, I think that we're prideful and maybe heartless at some times and possibly shallow, that we want to elicit a reaction out of the person listening, to be the one with the juicy story, so much so that we risk getting caught in the act. And maybe because we're just numb to the seriousness of gossip. I think we are quite numb. It's not surprising either because gossip is a way of life for so many. It's culturally accepted. We have gossip columns, gossip blogs, gossip segments on the news, people whose job is literally titled gossip writer. In many ways, gossip keeps some people in business, doesn't it? So in light of that, I thought that a major arena for gossip is technology. Our in-hand, if I had my phone, I'd pick it up, our in-hand instant gratification technology has made gossip dangerously easy and covert. You can text gossip about the person sitting next to you on the metro if you want to. Our social media world has provided endless fodder for gossip. In fact, it feeds gossip. It's stoking the fire. And we're inundated with tempting headlines and Facebook posts on a daily basis that are gossip-laced. Yet we click away with this insatiable curiosity. It's so easy. We gather info about people some will never meet, like celebrities, and we wield it in ways we're not licensed to. Speaking of celebrities, let's talk about celebrity gossip for a minute. We click on the silliest stuff. For instance, so-and-so celebrity out on a date with co-star's ex-girlfriend. Oh, click, let me see what that one's about. Is the bachelor so-and-so cheating on his newfound love? Oh, let me click, I gotta read about that. You won't believe which female pop star was caught on the beach looking 20 pounds overweight. Click, I gotta see. Really, seriously, how many minutes of our lives have we just wasted away reading this silly stuff? And you know what, even good posts can become gossip in the hands of a gossip. For instance, I could say, did you see that trip they took to Hawaii? Well, they weren't even able to pay their credit card bills last month. Not sure that the trip to Hawaii was a good trip or a good idea. It doesn't matter. It's not my business. It was just a post about a trip they posted. I don't need to turn it into gossip. And another thing I think that's important to remember is that social media, email, and text convos are a written record, and they can be found. So there's a world of gossip at our fingertips on the internet, and we are one click away from joining the rumor mill. Sometimes, gossip is masked as something else. Maybe as a prayer request. Maybe as a wise opinion, a cautionary tale, or a complaint. Now, again, we have got to remember that our words matter, and they're a large part of the way in which we bear Christ's image to the world. Beth Moore said something great about this in her Bible study, Entrusted. So for those of you who have done it, you might remember. She says, as surely as parents tutor their children in conflict strategies, older Christians teach younger Christians, and just Christians to Christian in general, how to handle opponents. If leaders they admire wield weapons of slander, followers will quick draw the same. Have you ever wondered how we Christians get away with some of the things we do? We rename the sin something noble. We call gossip informing, judgment discernment. And voila, misconduct gets reframed as Christian duty. Every Christian is gifted for influence. We're all holding a class, whether or not we're intentional and realize it. In life and online, we are actively teaching how to speak, love, relate, fight, hate, encourage, discourage, build up, and tear down in the name of Jesus because we bear his name. I think she knocked it out of the park with that. Gossip is literally everywhere. So now we've come to our last W, and you're probably thinking, phew, good, Kate, finally get it over. Our last W, why? Why do we do this? Why do we gossip? Deep down, we know it's not good, and yet we still do it. Psychologists will tell you it's an appropriate way of connecting with others. It's an effective means for social bonding. But I say, let's find a new way to bond. Let's bond over cookies. Let's bond over fashion. Let's bond over a TV show. Let's not bond over gossiping. And here are a few reasons I believe that we gossip. I think we feel superior when we can talk about someone else in a negative light. This stems from pride, as most sin does. We feel in the know, which makes us feel a bit elevated. We like to have info that other people don't have. And there's also this thrill element to it, isn't there? It's like the don't press the red button phenomenon. What do we have to do? We have to press it because we want to do what we're not supposed to do. Proverbs 26:22 calls the words of a whisperer delicious morsels. It's thrilling. It's delicious. And it's striking to me that as children of God with full access to the richest fare of wisdom and adventure and hope and beauty, kind of like filet mignon or chocolate cake, if you will, we often instead choose to gorge ourselves on gossip, kind of like Twinkies and Smarties. The Message version of Proverbs 26:22 says it really well. It says, listening to gossip is like eating cheap candy. Do you really want that junk in your belly? Pretty straightforward, right? How many times have I forfeited spending time in God's word or talking to him or worshiping him for reading about Hollywood stars? How many useless, gossipy facts do I know about people, some I'll never even meet, compared to how many scriptures I know? How much time have I spent talking about other people's business when it was not my place to discuss it? Kind of like C.S. Lewis says, we're far too easily pleased. Toss out the junk food, the empty calories of gossip. Let's turn our thrill-seeking to the creator of all things thrilling. Let's be interested in him. There can also be a motive of vengeance in gossip. I get it. Sometimes we get hurt by someone else. We're sinners. But our reaction is to lash out and to hurt them back. Kind of a defense mechanism. Now listen, that pain is valid. Whatever the cause, if we've been hurt by somebody else, it stings. But I'll tell you what, gossiping is like rubbing salt in the wound. It cannot, I mean cannot, bring healing to our pain. Turning our pain around and inflicting it on somebody else by defaming them will never cure our wounds. Sometimes gossip provides an element of reassurance. I'll share something about someone else, fishing to see how they might respond, and if they respond like I did, I feel better about myself. Sometimes we do it to gather more info. I share some gossip in hopes the person listening has a little more juicy information to share because ultimately we're just too curious and we cannot mind our own business. But what business of our own are we avoiding by being so wrapped up in the business of someone else? What sins of my own am I ignoring by focusing on the sins of others? 1 Thessalonians 4:11 says, "Stay calm, mind your own business, do your own job." I don't know about you, but I've got plenty of my own business to mind than to busy myself with someone else's business that doesn't belong to me. Ultimately, gossip arises from a prideful, nosy, flesh-driven, unloving heart. Now, with all of that said, this is not meant to guilt us, but to awaken us, to quicken our hearts, to spur us to seek the Lord's healing in our hearts so that our words will rightly reflect him. Paul Tripp says this brilliantly. He says, "God never sets a lofty standard for our speech and demands that we reach it on our own, sitting back and just waiting for us to fail. Rather, he gives us everything we need in life for godly speech, according to 2 Peter 1:3. How does he do that? He sent the word, Jesus Christ, to become flesh and blood and help us with our words. We have power and glorious riches at our disposal through Christ and the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. See, Jesus' death in our place covered the sin of our hurtful, divisive, gossipy words. Christ died to forgive all our sins, gossip included, and in him we are forgiven. And his resurrection from the dead and gift of the Holy Spirit to indwell us made it possible for our speech to be redeemed, to reflect his love to one another in the world, to glorify him. In him, we are a new creation. We're not bound by our sin anymore. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we have the ability to choose against sin, to say no to gossip and yes to love. Now, there's one more why question I think we need to ask, and perhaps it's the most important question. Why does God hate gossip? Why does he warn against it so many times in his word? Two main reasons came to my mind. First, he's a relational God. He values relationship. God created us to live in community. It's why he gave Eve to Adam. We are meant to be dependent on God and interdependent on one another. He created us in his image, and as a member of the Trinity, that's a relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thus, in his image, we are relational beings as well. As Matthew Henry said earlier, God delights in concord and agreement and harmony in relationship. Yet gossip is divisive, plain and simple. Satan has surreptitiously succeeded in getting us to use gossip as a means of social connection, thereby numbing us to its disastrous effects and making us proponents of it without even realizing it. We have got to wake up to his schemes. We're wiser than that. And as I was studying this, the Lord brought to my mind the story of Adam and Eve, and I began to see it with different eyes. Now, go with me for a second. In the garden, Satan twisted the truth of what God had said and made a whispered innuendo to Eve. He stuck his nose in business that wasn't his. You might say he was being a busybody, a gossip. In Genesis 3, he asks Eve, "Did God actually say, 'Do not eat of any tree in the garden?'" Thereby implying he doesn't think God really said this. Eve replies by telling him that God said they couldn't eat or touch the tree in the middle of the garden or they would die. Satan replies with, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." This conversation subtly planted the seed of doubt in Eve's mind. Satan tempted Eve to think differently about God. He marred God's reputation to Eve. He covertly insinuated that God doesn't want Eve's eyes to be opened so that she can be like him. He implies that God is denying her something good, which ultimately means he's implying that God isn't really good. He's defaming God's image and undermining Eve's trust in him. And so Satan sowed discord amongst Adam and Eve with God, which could be seen as a fruit of gossip. And Adam and Eve's sin broke their perfect union with God, which broke his heart because he values relationship. And we're created for relationship with him as well as relationship with one another. Secondly, God also values love. God-centered love is the key to healthy relationships. Jesus gave a new command, love one another. In John 13:35, he said that this is how everyone will recognize that we are his disciples, when they see the love that we have for one another in the body of Christ. In other words, our love for one another is on display. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says that we are ambassadors for Christ. that God is literally making his appeal to the world through us. So just as our words reveal the nature of our heart, so does the way in which we relate to one another. If in the body of Christ we gossip about one another, it doesn't reflect God's image or represent him well to those who don't know him. Nor does it make the body of Christ seem very inviting. See, gossip will never lead to a fulfillment of Jesus' command to love one another. It will never lead us towards healthy community, nor will it ever bear an accurate image of Christ to the world. It will not encourage others or glorify his name. And this is why I believe God hates it. So now that we've conducted a thorough investigation, thorough is an accurate word as I'm very wordy, what should we do with what we've learned? And I just have 7 practical steps. First, let's confess any patterns or tendencies of gossip in our lives to God. Ask him to purify your heart, to make you more aware of gossip when you're tempted. Proverbs 20:19 tells us simply, don't associate with gossips. It's pretty simple. And also, let's not give approval to those who practice gossip. That comes from Romans 1:29 through 31. So consider the things you read or watch or listen to. Is it time to make a change in what we're spending time doing? Seek the Lord and ask him to reveal those things to you or to show you if there's anyone you're spending time with that puts you in the presence of gossip, that tempts you to gossip. Let's mind our own business, as 1 Thessalonians 4:11 says. Let's not stick our nose where it doesn't belong. Let's speak up when someone starts to gossip around us. Ask them not to share it. Be brave. And if you've heard gossip, ask the Lord to help you forget the information, and that way you're not tempted to pass it on. Before sharing any information, let's ask ourselves, do I have license to share this? What's my motive in sharing? How would I feel if somebody shared this about me? Let's remember our calling to be ambassadors for Christ. And when in doubt, follow Thumper's advice, which I think we'll see on the screen. Oh, can you rewind it? It's okay if it doesn't work. We all know what he says, but it is really cute.
If you can't say something nice, don't say nothing